up there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 481, the 481st edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are welcoming you to this fine Wednesday, now Thursday, the 28th of April, 2011. Hopefully you are having a fantastic time. The Caffeination Podcast, which is the podcast that you are listening to right now, is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. We are also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the member shows have agreed to create child safe, family friendly, and educational content, and everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. Sorry, lost my place on the page there for a second. But anyway, you are listening to the Caffeination Podcast, despite the fact that we are actually underpowered tonight. I'm flying solo again, and I haven't been able to muster up the strength to get the coffee flowing here, so we're going to try and get the content all up and out. It's been a fun week running around doing a whole bunch of crazy things as per usual, but I got to tell you, the spice must flow. We are working on... under less than optimal vocal conditions. Normally there's a little bit of bass to my voice, and this is not quite as bad as the Batman saga from last week, but there's just like a little rasp in there. It's a little hard for me to talk for extended periods of time, so we're gonna hopefully wrap this one up a little bit quicker than usual, but who knows what happens. But we're calling this one a hacking up because I'm probably going to have to stop about 15 or 20 times during the show and actually cough up a lung, and then I'll start the recording back up. Hopefully the flow of the actual show won't be too different, but we have a lot of really fun stuff to talk to you about today. We are lovingly listed over at www.caffeination.com. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. I already told you we're part of Tech Podcasts, and that's a very special group of people over there. If you have a technology or geek-related podcast, please head on over to techpodcasts.com, and you can sign up and join in on the fun. It's a wonderful group of people who are all doing great things, and everybody's relatively supportive of one another, and that's always good to find in this kind of person in your basement realm we find ourselves in of podcasts. The more we struggle to get out of it, the more some of us end up just sitting in the basement. At least it's not my parents' house, but all right, we have a bunch of really cool topics to talk to you. We're going to talk a little bit about Delicious, which is late breaking news. Just got this email. We are going to talk a little bit about the PlayStation Network, dogfighting, robots, audacity of it all, time and money, Mjolnir, a little bit of Tolkien thrown in there, a lot of food fun, and some disgusting foods that we've been showcasing here on the show. So it's a whole bunch of stuff all rolled up into one fun little show. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can email either myself or my co-host Steve at paul or steve@caffeination.com. Yeah, it's a kind of a wonderful little place to be in, and we are proud to be sponsored by GoToMeeting. Now, in today's fast-paced business world, people are always on the go. Whether you're working from home, you're in a different office, or you're just traveling in between the two, it's usually hard to get everybody together to have one, quick little meeting that just shouldn't take too long at all, but it's just so hard to pull everybody in and pull everybody together and get them all on the same page. That's why I personally recommend GoToMeeting, which is by Citrix. This way, everyone can meet online no matter where you happen to be at that time. GoToMeeting allows you to collaborate on documents in real time. You can switch between different presentations. You can switch between different resources. And it's like you're all in the same room, but it reduces the overall hassle of making that happen. It's so easy. You can get started in just minutes, and attendees can join with just a click. You can host as many meetings as you want, and it's absolutely all the same flat price. It's a low, flat monthly rate. Free phone conference and voiceover IP are included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings, absolutely free. Please visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's head on over to GoToMeeting.com and enter the promo code PODCAST. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff that we try and do for you here. And one of those things is we're going to see if we can get a bunch of really good content up and flowing right now before my voice totally gives out. But Here's the late breaking news. This is some tasty news for those of you who are using the bookmark site Delicious. Now, Delicious is a social bookmark site where it allows you to, you know, store your stuff online. You can compare bookmarks to different people. I've never actually been an avid user of it because I always had problems importing the massive amounts of bookmarks that I have in there. I think between all of my different browsers, I probably have around 20,000 bookmarks at this point, and that's mainly because of all the stuff that I've been doing for the podcast for 5 years. I still have almost every show's bookmarks saved. I mean, except for a lot of the stuff that I've been talking about recently, everything is a list of 20 or 25 bookmarks that are going to be talked about, and usually about 10 or 15 things that just didn't quite make the cut. I used to actually try and do a didn't make the cut podcast, you know, a podcast for the stuff that I didn't talk about in the podcast, but ended up getting a little bit too meta. But all right, back to the story at hand. YouTube is being sold by Yahoo. Yahoo is in rather dire straits, and it was kind of a sad to hear that they were going to be shutting down Delicious. I know a lot of people who are really involved in it, and I never really got into it because by the time I got into it, it was like I have an account, but I never used it to its fullest because by the time that had happened, I had found out that Yahoo was probably going to sell it. So, beyond all that, they ended up selling it to Chad Hurley and Steve Chen. Yes, the two gentlemen who founded YouTube, and they are now the founders of Avos.com. So if you head on over to Avos.com, there's a wonderful little press release. You actually have to allow Yahoo to transfer your account over. You have to read all the different terms and everything, but they... Steve and Chad have basically committed to making Delicious the service that the vibrant community that surrounds it deserves. And it's interesting because they talk a lot about information overload. They talk a lot about, oh, well, these are all the different things that are really facing the social web at this point in time. And it's wonderful to see somebody try and tackle that, because as you sit there and you see your 500 gig hard drive fill up with all the songs you've downloaded from YouTube, all the pictures you've taken on your digital camera, and all the movies that you have, the kidlets doing all the kidlet kind of things, you're starting to realize, man, I have an absolute ton of stuff. And it used to just be you put it in a box and move along, but everybody keeps all their stuff together. So this way, with social bookmarking, it allows you to kind of, move. This isn't, you know, just bookmarking your content. This is bookmarking different things and stories that you've heard. So it's, you've heard of the Google brain, where it's, you're relying on Google to do all your thinking for you. There's a lot of people out there who rely on Delicious to actually do a good part of their remembering for them. So, oh yeah, I really wanted to talk about this. I got to remember that. Now that's what Delicious is for. So you can head on over to Avos.com and check that out. That's AVO. Or you can follow the link in the show notes. We are going to be writing a story about that in very short order, probably tomorrow or the next day, but I just want to get that out first. All right, next thing we have here is PSN is in huge trouble. Now, you may have heard the PlayStation Network, the free network that allows gamers who have PlayStation 3s to play their different little games. You might have heard that it's been shut down for about a week. Well, there was rumors flying around that this was because there was a hacking attempt. Well, as it turns out, unfortunately, not only was there a hacking attempt, but there was a major, major breach, and millions of customers' personal data was exposed. Now, we're not just talking like, okay, your name, your email address. No, we're talking your name, your email address, your actual address, possibly your credit card information, possibly your date of birth, anything that they would have, that this smorgasbord of millions of different people's accounts. And this isn't, now, there's a great story that Steve wrote about this that says, you know, that this service has been running for about 4 years. This is the first time any kind of service like this actually, was breached to this level. And there's a couple other stories I've seen floating around that said, you know, the true reach isn't necessarily going to be, you know, the normal gentleman like you and myself who have your identity stolen. The real problem is going to come about when we start seeing people who are much further up the chain of command, when you have like CEOs or congresspeople who have their information exposed, who have their digital lives kind of out there. So if these people happen to play the PlayStation 3 or somebody else happen to use that, that's a huge gap in security. And that's, you know, these are things as simple as, like, they now have access to the answers to all of your security questions. Think about it. All those different websites that you signed up for, how many times have you been asked your mother's maiden name? How many times have you been asked what your first dog's name was, or your first pet, or the street that you grew up on, or your first girlfriend's name, or, you know, or the initials of your kids, or any one of the number of hundreds of little things that they actually ask you? These things are all worthless in their own separate area. And so even if you were the absolute most secure person in the world and you used a different password and different username for every possible thing that you were on, if somebody managed to get a hold of your email address and they managed to get a hold of the password that you used for one of those, and then they had all of that other information along with it, they had all of that, those tiny little details that make up the security questions, that's a huge breach in security. So it's going to be years before we actually find out exactly how hard this is going to hit the community as a whole. So while I don't have a PS3 and it doesn't actually affect me directly, it kind of makes you think twice about what accounts and what things you have linked up to your Xbox or your other major accounts out there. Now, I don't know if this is because this is Sony's real first foray into, like, the large, wide format social networking and social accountability area. Because, I mean, it's not just Xbox Live you're dealing with when you're dealing with Microsoft. You're also dealing with their entire Windows Live family. So, you know, they have the Microsoft Passport. They have a couple other layers of security that I'm not entirely sure that Sony had. So I can't really speak about that one way or another, but I can tell you that some of the stuff that has been coming out about this is, first thing that happened is everybody automatically blamed Anonymous. And Anonymous basically came out and said, yeah, it might have been one or two of us, but there was no edict from Anonymous Central to head on over there and hack the Gibson, so to speak. There was no, you know, grand announcement that said this was going to be the target. While, you know, one of our members might have gone off and gone rogue and done this, they did it entirely of their own. This is not an Anonymous thing. So now you're back to dealing with, well, So it's a random hacker. While that hacker might get caught, anybody they shared the data with is going to cause huge problems well down the line. All right, next little article we also have up in the game room. Steve wrote about a wonderful little app that's out there that allows you to train dogs, and you can nurture them, you can teach them to do different things. The only problem is that you're actually training them to fight one another. This app called Dog Wars is actually available for Android phones, and it was published by Cage Games LLC, and basically, you train a pit bull to compete in a dogfight. And it was just basically begging for problems from the get-go, if you really think about it. There had probably been available for a little while until organizations like PETA, the Humane Society, all these different places started coming forward and bringing attention to the application, and then bringing publicity to it. And so much so that Michael Vick, the Philadelphia Eagle, who was famously taken down for his part in a dog fighting ring, actually came out and said, I've learned myself, Steve actually has the quote here, I've come to learn that the hard way, that dog fighting is a dead-end street. Now I'm on the right side of this issue, and I think it's important to send a smart message to kids and not glorify this form of animal cruelty, even in an Android app. I think well said by Mike there. It's really kind of horrible to see this. The only problem is, there was over 80,000 downloads of this thing, and that's probably in large part because these organizations were bringing attention to it. There needs to be some kind of offensive app, and then you run into the whole problem with what do you deem offensive versus what do I deem offensive. And I almost guarantee you the things that I find funny and offensive would probably not be the same as a lot of our listeners. I just have a twisted, weird sense of humor. I probably would not have. Actually, I can definitely say I would not have downloaded this. I'm actually kind of sensitive to the whole animal cruelty thing, but it's pretty hardcore when you think about the stuff that could happen. This is a very slippery slope, so I think that these things, when dealt with on a case-by-case basis, are perfectly fine, but when you start branching them out, that's where you get into the very dangerous territory. So, all right, now the next little thing, we're talking a little bit about Easter this past weekend, so if you celebrate then you can have that going for you. But there was a fun little story that was sent in by Massa from over at ineedcoffee.com, the Eggbot. This thing is capable, it's basically an old-school style pen plotter that's capable of actually drawing on any circular spherical object. The only problem is this robot actually retails for $197. And while it is really cool, and I for one salute my egg decorating masters, but it's pretty on the expensive side when you compare it to vinegar and food coloring. So I would love the chance to review it, and I'm pretty sure, you know, if I had a chance to actually get one of these for architecture, that would be really awesome, specifically because, you know, we're getting this whole really cool digital fabrication stuff and hope next year. But, you know, hopefully I'll be able to showcase some of that on the show. It's like, hey, cool, look at this. This is a MakerBot or all those different things. But this is not entirely within the realm of people building things and drawing on round stuff, so... All right, moving right along to the next thing we got there for you. Caffeination reviews the Book of Audacity, the program right now that I am using to record this podcast. Every possible time that I have actually done reviews on different, examples on how to podcast, my first thing that I suggest to people is to download and play with Audacity. It is a free program. Everything associated with it is free. It is a wonderfully complex and powerful tool that with a little bit of fiddling, you can do a whole lot of stuff with it. But it's not always the most intuitive, and it took me a little while to actually get a hang of it and to actually do the editing that I currently do. And, you know, everything that you've ever heard from the Caffeination has been done with Audacity. Every promo that I've ever done, in fact, a lot of the different work that I do in school, you know, as part of my day job, I use Audacity. I do podcasts for Temple. I do, you know, different little things. I did the voiceover announcements for one of our buildings. So it's like so much so that I actually had a student come up to me and say, "Are you the voice of the tech center?" And at one point in time, I was. I don't know if it's still the case, but still. Everything was edited together with Audacity, and the program has a lot of latent power. This book, the Book of Audacity, and it just has a wonderfully conversational tone to it. Technical books are not often easy reads, and this thing is probably the closest that you would get to a cookbook style tech book that you can possibly imagine. The chapters, as you open it up, I'm actually just going to pull it on over here, but the chapters, they read like things that you would want to do and not trials that you're going to have to overcome. So if you're trying to figure out how to do something, this, you know, it has Audacity from start to finish, but it also says, you know, how to create an audio CD, how to configure Audacity for making Orange Book CDs, editing live recordings, Audacity settings for recording. It even tells you, goes into the fine things on how to transfer vinyl LPs and any other legacy format to a CD, creating and editing live tracks for a CD. I mean, anything that you would possibly want to do, from making your own ringtones to creating podcasts, there's an entire section. It's around 25 pages on different settings and how to set your computers up to actually make the most of it. From a seasoned professional like myself, who's been using Audacity for years, this was a fantastic way to actually go through and any of the tiny little settings that I might have forgot, or if I wanted to set up a Linux podcasting rig or a Mac podcasting rig or another PC podcasting rig, they actually give you examples in each one of the three major OSs on how to correctly set up your thing to get the most out of it. So this is a wonderful book, a fantastic read, and it's not something that you're necessarily going to read start to finish, but it is definitely a fantastic reference to have at your desk if you plan on doing any kind of anything with audio. So I just wanted to share that with the group and thank the fine people who sent me that book from No Starch Press. All right, now moving right along to a little bit more of an awesome fabrication kind of thing. There's a sculpted paper skull made of $11,000. Now, Scott Campbell is a lot of things. He's a tattoo designer, he's a tattooist himself, and he's also an artist with a laser cutter. Now, when you first see this, and now imagine a 2-foot stack of $1 bills. Now, it's 2 feet tall, 2 feet wide. It's actually, I think, 4 bills wide and what it looks to be either 8 or 9 bills tall. Now, these are complete uninterrupted sheets directly from the mint. Now, carved in relief is a skull, and it goes down the entire length of the 2 feet. Now, when you're looking at it, you say, oh my God, that's insane. Somebody actually routed out down all the way to the bottom and created this skull. But it's actually even more complex than that. Scott Campbell took $11,000 in raw materials, which is literally $11,000, and cut it from the bottom up because there's overhangs. You can't do that with other things. You actually have to build it layer by layer going upwards. So he would put in the bottom layer, have that cut on the laser cutter. Put in the next layer up, have that cut. all the way up, and there's probably some kind of adhesive or glue. Now, you'd say, how can you get away with using $11,000? Yes, it is actually illegal to destroy currency. But he's also selling it for $50, so I think he'll make out on the long end. Now, if you have a chance, I highly suggest you head on over there to his website. It is really fantastic. It's called scottcampbelltattoo.com, and you can see some of the other sculptures that he actually has, and he has a rather interesting one with a specific digit of a finger of a skeleton held aloft, carved out of money, and that just some of the stuff. It's all tattoo aesthetics, I guess you could say, like the really vintage tattoo aesthetics applied to 3D sculptures with a laser cutter. Now, the amount of skill that it's associated with it is absolutely insane, so you owe it to yourself to eyeball it. All right, now, you've heard of Little Vader, the kid who was starred in the commercial where Darth Vader was going around trying to make different things happen. And it was a tiny little kid in a costume, and then when the dad remote started the car, the kid got all excited. Well, Marvel took that, flipped it on its ear, and now we have Little Thor. It's a tiny little kid with a giant Mjolnir going around, and he's dressed head to toe, and it's all to promote the movie. I'm not going to give away the ending. It is a fantastic little commercial. Here's my problem with the marketing for this thing. In the store, I'm trying my best to teach my son, the proper names for things, and we're going through comic book canon, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not telling him anything that exists in one thing and not in another. If you really want to get a split personality, the easiest thing to do is try and explain comic book continuum to a 4-year-old. There's certain things that are too mature for them, so you leave that out. There's certain things where people die and then they come back to life, and you're just sitting there scratching your own head trying to figure out who's alive, who's dead, and what happened, to where you actually have to kind of break it down and say, okay, there's good guys and there's bad guys, but sometimes the bad guys are good guys, and sometimes the good guys are bad guys, and sometimes the good guys don't always like the other good guys, but sometimes they like the bad guys and they actually talk to them. Sometimes they date the bad girls when they're actually good guys, but they don't realize that because they're all in costume. Who's on first? It gets really kind of complicated, and that's from adult to adult, you don't even know. So it's kind of funny when you actually break it down and you're trying to explain everything. And the genesis behind this is Thor has a hammer. Everybody knows this. Thor's hammer has a name. The hammer's name is Mjolnir, or however you're supposed to pronounce it, but I actually think I got it right. When it's actually being sold in the store, I was like, yes, I'm going to get my son a Mjolnir. No, when you go up, it's Thor's lightning hammer. Yes, I know it's a little hard to say, but you know what? I think we've dumbed down the youth of America enough. Perhaps they're just ready for a hammer that has a special name. It's a special hammer. It does special things. It's not just a regular hammer. If you wanted one of them, you could go to Home Depot and buy a Craftsman or a Stanley or something like that. You could go to Lowe's and get whatever the brand name is there. This is not a hammer. This is the Mjolnir. It is Thor's, the source of Thor's power and Thor's might. It's important. All right, now geeking out about one more thing. You take the old 1940s era propaganda posters where they have Uncle Sam pointing at it and say, we want you to serve in the military, and they say, you shall not pass, and it's a picture of Gandalf pointing directly at you. This is the scene directly out of, he's not actually pointing, but in the books, when Gandalf is actually taking the stand against the Balrog as they're coming across the mines of Moria, this being made of fire and death comes out, and with wings as black as night comes out, and he just stands his ground, shows you the truly Bamf of a wizard that he is, and as a Tolkien geek, I could talk about this for absolute hours. The funniest thing is, this actually kind of brought up another thing, which I actually kind of touched on a little bit ago. Now, there's plenty of geeks in the world, and Tolkien geeks have their fun little arguments back and forth. And, comic book geeks will argue who's faster, the Flash or Superman, or who can lift more. Is it Shazam, Captain Marvel or Superman? Who's stronger? Who's everything? And all that's really kind of off to the side when you think about Tolkien geeks, because they're all arguing about whether or not the Balrogs have wings. That's pretty much the only thing that everybody kind of agrees on, that, and wouldn't it have been a lot easier to have the Eagles just take everybody to Mordor and drop the ring in? So there's some funny things that actually exist in the continuum, and whenever you're talking about geeks that are in any continuum, it's always interesting to see what they argue about. So just go to one of those boards if you really feel like stirring up some trouble, and take a definitive stand on whether or not you think the creatures have wings. I'm in the pro wing camp. just letting you know. All right, now we're moving right along. My current addiction is Portal 2. Yes, I am working on a review, but I actually want to finish the single-player game and at least attempt the co-op game. I love Portal in the game. I got to tell you, so far, it is worth the investment. Because you got to think, last time Portal was released, it was released as a part of the Orange Box. Now, Portal 2 being released, it is its own game, so they have to do something to justify. You know, the Orange Box was five games rolled into one for the price originally of $50 or $60. So you figure each game's worth about $10. So if you spend, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours on Portal and you get it and you're done, that's great. Portal 2 is coming in, you know, rocking in at $60. You have to be able to verify that it's worth that amount of money. And so far, it is definitely taking me on a wonderful little ride. It has some pacing issues in the beginning, but it's really starting to pick up now. It's kind of interesting. I love this game. I love the mechanics associated with it, so it's just really, really cool. So the funny thing about this, and the reason that we're actually mentioning this, is if you head on over to koyozokicks.com, they actually have Portal-themed sneakers. Now, these are Aperture Science model. They have red and blue laces because, you know, they have the entrance and the exit portal, and they are done in the Chuck Taylor All-Star kind of Bobo high tops. They're really kind of interesting and they're kind of fun. I don't know how much they're actually running, because I think they were like a one-off, but they're really, really fantastic. So I wouldn't necessarily wear them, but I think they're cool enough to pass along to the group. All right, there's no springy leg things on them, unfortunately. Moving into the food and caffeinated bits. Up first, we have a bunch of little one-offs in here, but first, Mr. T. Yes, this is a three-part pot that has an emblazoned image of Mr. T in the front. The top says Mr., the middle says, or the bottom says T, in the middle you have the Mohawked Wonder himself. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the 14 pounds of bling hanging off the side. This is actually an all-in-one tea kettle. So at the top, you remove it, you pour the hot water in there, and it mixes with the tea leaves. Then you take the middle section off and pour it into the bottom section, which actually is a... the cup. So it's kind of fun to sit there. This is a one-off. I don't even know where it actually came from, but I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was interesting. Up next, we have something from over at foodbeast.com. This is an NES lunchbox. This is just old-school NES system. It even has the working cartridge door, so you can open it up and slip a cookie or whatever else you got in there. I like this. The only problem is if you're really going to go retro and you're really going to do the school lunchbox thing upright, you have the wrong handle on it, because they put a suitcase handle on it. This is not suitcase worthy. It should be that goofy little handle that had, you know, you would always pinch your hands on if you weren't careful. It had, you know, the plastic strap with the two holes in it and the metal slides on either side. That's the iconic lunchbox handle, not this one. So it's just almost but not quite exactly unlike a real lunchbox. So moving right up, what should you drink? The answer is always beer. There's a fun little infographic that was posted on Tumblr a bunch. It says, what should I drink? Yes, or are you inside? Yes or no. Are you in college? Yes or no. Are you at home? And it goes, and every answer is always beer. So it's kind of funny. It says, beer is culture at 6 Point Craft Ales. Mike Crimmins from over at DailyShotOfCoffee.com actually said, well, you know, I like this one a lot, except I do feel that some of the answers should end in coffee. My response to him was, I struggle with the same problem, and the only thing I can come up with is to have a second chart where everything is coffee. Because, in my personal opinion, if a problem cannot be solved by either beer or coffee, should we even be trying? So that's just how I feel about something. And there may be a chart, something similar to this, coming out from the Caffeination podcast all about coffee in the future. So that's just what we're going to go with. Just a little teaser, and hopefully I'll actually get up off my rear end and actually do it. Now we're heading on into the home stretch here, and I've only coughed and hacked up a lung maybe 4 or 5 times. We have a little bit of a warning here up front. Disgusting food number 1 and number 2 are coming up, and people have kind of weighed in all over this one. Both of them are, well, the first one is Easter themed. It's actually for real from Pizza Hut. It's called the Peepsa. It was originally done, and there was only ever one of these ever made, and it was originally done in their test kitchen. Now, the first time I saw this image, it didn't have the person in the background, it just had their hands. It didn't have the Pizza Hut logo on it. And even if I originally saw that, I would not have believed that it was an official something that came out of it, the Pizza Hut test kitchen. But After all that, I contacted the PR firm in charge of the Pizza Hut account and said, all right, I need confirmation. Is this actually something that they did? And they said, yes, this is a real shot from inside the test kitchen in Texas. And they did use Peeps, and they did make a dessert pizza out of Peep. So there you go, the Peepsa. I actually think it's pretty cool. It looks interesting, except I think that Peeps themselves are the tool of the devil. I actually hate them. I don't understand why people eat them. I think they're ridiculously disgusting. So that's more disgusting than the pizza itself. Anyway, you know, in that case, the parts are more disgusting than the sum of the whole. And then when you move along to the next little thing that was passed out, I have no clue where this came from. I don't even understand why somebody would do this. This is the thing that should not be. This is a Twinkie pizza. Yes, you take a regular pizza, you cut up a Twinkie, and you bake it like it was pepperoni. I don't even understand why this is the way, and I've gotten a lot of really negative reactions to some of the disgusting food posts, but I just thought they were kind of hilarious in the fact that they're so disgusting, and that you think somebody might have actually eaten them. And then we go on to the kind of cute stuff. This is from Happy Easter. This is from over at InsaneWitches.com. This is the Hip Hop Witch. And apparently it is ham and carrots and white bread. That's it. It's in the shape of a bunny, and it's relatively cute, but beyond that, the actual website itself for InsaneWitches.com bears more attention than the actual Hip Hop Witch itself. I thought it was hilarious, so I passed it along to the group. Hopefully you think it's funny as well. And then the last little thing that we got for you, not too much coffee here, because I haven't been drinking very much coffee, and there's just only so much I can actually muster. But the only thing here we have is the last unfortunate story for today is another Peep story, and this is not one from my site. But if you liked the Peep pizza or the Peepsa, then you really are a Peep sicko, then you'd probably want to check out Peep Sushi. Now, this is not raw fish, at least I can't tell that it's raw fish, but it appears to be different Peeps cut like raw fish. And the actual artistry associated with this and the Rice Krispie treats and all the other different things that they're using, including, I believe, to be fruit roll-ups, the artistry behind this is so much more precise than the other one that I actually kind of get, you know, take my hat off to them. This is from over at SeriousEats.com or SerioSeats.com, depending on how you want to break up the words. But I thought it was really hilarious, and I just had to pass it along. They also have a link to a Peep pizza at the bottom, but they actually baked Peeps onto a real pizza, and that's just disgusting. So, all right. That about wraps it up here today. My voice cannot do too much more, so we're just going to rock it on out here and say thank you ever so much for sticking around for today's Caffeination. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, please feel free to email either me or Steve at paul@caffeination.com or steve@caffeination.com, or you can just send a general missive over to caffeination@gmail.com and we'll get it to where it done gotta go. Hopefully within the next week you're going to get the portal review, you're going to get a whole bunch of other fun stuff coming out. I got another book review that I'm trying to put out. There's a lot of really interesting and really kind of enthusiastic stuff that I have lined up that I really want to do. It's just I wish I could actually talk all about it. But thank you ever so much for sticking around. And this is the Caffeination Podcast. If you are looking for us, just remember caffeination.com, CaffeinationN.com. Thanks for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.